Just for a short moment this afternoon, let's go to James chapter 2. Let's continue as we look at the characteristics of an inactive faith. We've looked at James 1, and then the first, we're well into chapter 2. And last time, verses 14 to 17, we saw an unprofitable faith. It was a dead faith. Today, a demonic faith. And so let's just read verses 18 to 20 of James chapter 2. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And so we see here some very practical instruction about faith and works. But we need to remember that there is no contradiction between the epistles of James and those of Paul. It's a difference in emphasis. Paul emphasizes that works do not precede faith, and James stresses that works do follow faith. And I gave you this quote last time. It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. And here's another quote. Paul shows that our persons are justified before God by faith, and James, that our faith is justified before men by works. Some very practical sayings that really summarize what is being said in this chapter. So, what are the characteristics of an inactive faith? An inactive faith, today we're going to see, is invisible. When we get to verse 19, it's inadequate because the devils have it, and yet they're not saved. And then we get to verse 20, it is indolent. So let's look at the fact that an inactive faith is invisible. Again, let's read verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith. Now, here's an objection that an unnamed person, someone comes up with. Somebody is introduced who objects to what James is teaching. Because James writes, a man may say. And he's got this subjective part of the first thing he says. Thou hast faith. It's invisible. This man contends that someone's gift may be in the area of faith. But objectively, I have works. So you've got something that you claim you have that I can't see, but I've got something that you can see. This is visible. And so this man contends that someone may excel in works. And essentially, he's saying there's room for both. There's a compromise. But then there's this challenge that James brings up. James responds to this objection in the last part of verse 18 and says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Let's illustrate this. Let's go to what Jesus once did and said in Mark chapter 2. Go back to Mark chapter 2, and you'll remember this story when we get there. Jesus heals a man with palsy. And it was interesting that he was in the city of Capernaum, and there were so much people in this room that some people could not bring this man who was sick of the palsy upon his bed. They could not get in. So what did they do? They went to the roof and they dug a hole in the roof. And it says in verse 4, when they had broken up the roof, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And the man comes down with a rope and he's right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus, look at verse 5 of Mark chapter 2, when Jesus saw their what? Well, how could he see their faith? Well, he can see into the heart, but he sees what every other person is seeing. He sees their faith by what they just did. He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I am not even here to point out that Jesus saw their faith. I am here to point something else out. Because Jesus says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, how do you know that somebody's sins are forgiven? Can you see that they've been forgiven? Now, watch what Jesus does here. Verse 6, there were some of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Note, verse 9, whether, or let's just say, what is easier to say? Is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee? Or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Now, which is easier to say because you can't see the result? Your sins are forgiven. But if I say, take up your bed and walk, if I were Jesus and I say, take up your bed and walk, and you don't take up your bed and walk, now what? You can see that my faith, that what I say, that I do not support that. But he says in verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Jesus is pointing out that you cannot see when somebody's sins are forgiven, but you can see when someone says, hey, take up your bed and walk, a man who's never walked before. So there's the challenge, which is easier to say. To believe me when I say I have faith, or here's a demonstration of my faith. And so you have here in verse 18 of James 2, a faith unknown. Show me thy faith without thy works. You can't see someone's faith. But then you have faith made known. I will show thee my faith by my works. Have you ever been surprised to find out that somebody was saved? Oh, I didn't know he was saved. What was the problem? You never saw the works that accompany true faith. And this is typically what happens with Hollywood actors and actresses. Oh, did you know he? I didn't know he was saved. And everybody else says they're saving you. I've never seen any evidence of that. That contradicts what James is saying here. I will show you my faith by my works. Faith, which is invisible, is made visible by its resulting actions. How did Jesus make himself known? What was the proof of his ministry? In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Jesus of Nazareth, a man of God, approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. People knew who Jesus was. They knew he was who he claimed he was because it was accompanied by miracles and wonders and signs. It is not faith and works. It is not faith or works. It is faith that works. Three men were in a boat. It was a ferry boat, just the little boat that was two men had hired this guy to take him across the river. And so as the ferryman is rowing the boat, these other two men got into an argument. And one was arguing that, no, you're just saved by faith and, you know, the works aren't necessary. The other one's saying, no, it's works, it's not faith. You know, you got to have works if you're... And the ferryman says, do you mind if I interject my opinion here? And they said, go ahead. So he was rowing the boat. He said, one of these oars, let's call faith. This other one, let's call works. And so he stopped the works and he started pulling on faith. And they started going in circles. And then he said, now, we're not getting anywhere. We're not doing anything. We're not getting to the other side. But tell you what, let me stop the faith one and let's start pulling the oar that's called works. Same thing. Just the opposite direction. He says, now let's pull these together. It's faith that works. And they made it to the other side. And he was saying, just as we get to the other side, the haven, so A true faith is one that is exhibited by works. And that is what the Lord uses in our lives to demonstrate our faith to others. So, you say you have faith? Well, show me your faith by your works.